Hello, everyone, and welcome to the sixth season of The Soul's Conquest. This podcast is made for seasoned coaches, creatives, and entrepreneurs to share their stories to the next generation of change makers. The intention behind this podcast is a lot of times when we are passionate about something and we are jumping in and starting something new, we feel a lot of motivation, a lot of gusto. We are like, this is it. This is what we were made for. But we hit our very first obstacle and we are down in the valley of despair. We feel like we don't know what to do. We are stuck there. A lot of times people either stay stuck there, they quit, they go out and start something new, hoping that they won't end up here, which in reality is not something that is possible because a lot of times you will face obstacles. No matter what journey you are on, or they push through and progress, knowing that they will face obstacles, but they have the tools necessary to move forward. This podcast is made for the people who are stuck in the valley of despair or who could potentially be stuck here. Once again, the intention behind it is to inspire these people and to share with them that they are not alone on this journey. A lot of people have faced similar problems and they have come forward and progressed. They have won in life. They are seasoned because they have experienced a lot of the things that we might potentially be facing. We hope that listening to their stories gives you the tools you require to get out of the valley of despair, to get unstuck, and to follow your dreams. So I hope you get to do that with today's guest. Super excited to have you here. Let's go. Let's get this started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the final episode of season 6 of The Soul's Conquest. I'm super excited to have with me Izzy, and we have connected a few times. This has been a podcast session that has, you know, it has taken a while for us to get here. We have been trying to schedule and reschedule, and we're finally here. So I'm super excited to have Izzy for the final episode of the season. Super excited. Let's go. Izzy, thank you so much for being here. How are you doing today?
Yeah, thank you so much. I am so happy to be here today. I didn't know it was going to be the finale. So, yes. Wow, that's exciting. I feel honored.
Yeah, we are bringing in the heat. Awesome. Good. So, for anyone who's listening to you or watching you for the very first time, Izzy, would you feel comfortable introducing yourself to the audience? The spotlight
is on you. Absolutely. Yeah, so my name is Izzy Waite. I opened Izzy Waite Design about 2 years ago. May 1st will actually be like my 2 year anniversary of like being a for real business. So it's really exciting. So yeah, I am a branding and website graphic designer. I work with heart-centered entrepreneurs and help them devise a branding strategy and a website design that's really pulled from their values and their mission. I like to put people's purpose and passion in the forefront of their branding. So when someone comes on and sees their Instagram or their website, whatever, they get a really good sense of who they are as a person, what they care about, what they're like by just looking at their branding. And they really fall in love with them before they even book their first discovery call. And so that's who I am. And I am just really excited to be here. So thank you.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm excited to have you here. My question to you, Izzy, is this. What got you started into this? What made you go, you know what? I want to get into branding. What was the tipping point, or were you like always interested in being in the branding industry, or you know, were you doing something else? Got into this?
Yeah. So I actually like from a youngish age, air quotes, I don't know what young is, but from early in my life, I decided that this is what I wanted to do. I actually went to college for it. And so I got 2 degrees in one in graphic design and one in marketing. And so, I was like, this is what I want to do. I love the idea of branding. I just love the idea of like cohesively presenting a business in a way that like people can understand who they are from the looks and from what they sound like and what they say and things like that. I just always loved it. I knew very early in my life that I wanted to be a graphic designer, though I felt like it wasn't like a very structured like career path, I guess. And so when I first went to college, I actually went for nutrition and I lasted a semester. And then I was like, this is not for me. I love the idea of nutrition. I love eating healthy, but I didn't love the idea of like telling people how to eat healthy for the rest of their life. But I had never like given myself permission to follow like the creative career path that I thought that I wanted to do. Because it just kind of felt like the unstable career path. But when I got into college, I was like, no, like, I think that I could actually like turn my love for like art and design into something that I can do and also help people with. And so, yeah, I switched to it in college, and then I kind of knew that's where I wanted to go. But after college, I tried the corporate world. I did it for a short stint, and just decided it wasn't for me in that time period. I thought that I'd always kind of been the person that wanted to work for themselves in the future, but it was kind of more of like a 10-year plan for me. But when the pandemic happened, corporate life looked really weird anyway, and it just wasn't a good fit, and it didn't make me feel fulfilled. And so I kind of switched directions and decided to start working for myself. So that's kind of the long story of how I got here, I guess.
I love it a lot. I have to ask you, from what you mentioned, what switched your mindset from, or your thought process from, you know what, I'm not sure if this is going to pay me enough, you know, when you were in nutrition, when you were in college, to let me actually dive deeper into the world of art and see how I can create a life out of it? Yeah. What made you switch your mind?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think like a lot of people, I just was listening to all the shoulds. You know, you should have a stable career. You should... Like, I thought that I was going to be a nutritionist who worked in a hospital, because that seemed like something that people should want to do. You know, I should want this, like, I don't know, like normal corporate-y hospital life. But it just like wasn't for me. And I knew that. And like, I was a kid in high school who took every single art class that they offered and like was always creating. And so I think I just like really quickly learned in college that I was like trying to go against the grain of like what was naturally what I was good at. But it wasn't until, actually, this is a really interesting story. I had a really good friend of mine, still is, he's one of my best friends, but he emailed me and he was like, can you help me with this? I think it was like a water bottle label or something. He was running for student body president of his college, and he needed help with the graphic design on this water bottle. And so I was helping him, and I sent it back to him, and he was like, you know, you'd be really good graphic designer. And it was the first time someone externally had like said that to me, even though that was something that I had like always kind of felt like I wanted to do. But I think it was just having like some external validation from someone I really like cared about their opinion, that I was like, oh yeah, I could, like, I could do that. And that's something that like I would be good at, and then something that I would probably love. And so it was like literally a few days later that I switched majors and like went full force into it. So yeah.
I love that. Then my follow-up question would be, for anyone who is struggling with that mindset that has been kind of, you know, shared for a really long time, it exists, a starving artist mindset, you know, would validation be a good motivational factor to kind of take that leap of faith, according to you, from your experience?
I think more so what it was is that I had thought that everyone expected this life of me. I had thought that people expected me to, like, I don't know, be a doctor or something. Like, I just like felt like that's what people thought. But then when I really talked to the people who knew me, they never expected that. They always expected me to do something creative and something fun and something like more of what I'm doing right now. And so I think it's more so like we have this idea of what we think the people around us want us to do, but in reality, like, sometimes they see us more clearly than we think, and they like know that we're passionate, or they can see our passion, they can see what we're good at. And so I think it wasn't necessarily like having that validation, but it was just kind of like a breath of fresh air, like, wow, these people really see that this is something I care about and this is something I'm good at, instead of just I don't know. I just kind of always thought that people expected me to do these things, when in reality, like, people were like, no, you're creative. Like, of course you're going to do something fun and something quirky and something that you're passionate about. And so, yeah, I think it was more just a mindset shift of being like, I don't have to do these things that like the rest of society is saying that I need to. It's like, what do I care about? So, yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. You know what? I could go off on this first question itself. Like, the coach within me is like, let's probe more, but I'm like, no. The podcaster in me is like, let's move on, Madhur Emma. So my question to you, Izzy, would be this: who were some of your mentors, or who was a part of your support system when you decided to take shift from, let's say, nutrition to brand design, or decided to go from corporate to starting your own business and becoming an entrepreneur. You can choose any of these two scenarios, whichever you feel most aligned to kind of talk about in this given moment. But yeah, who was your support system, or who were some of the mentors who supported you on this journey?
Yeah. You know, I think in both scenarios, okay, so one time I think it was like a TED talk or an inspirational talk, I don't remember what it was, but someone had mentioned something about having a board of directors, like, because like organizations and businesses and nonprofits all have board of directors. But the idea is that you have your own board of directors, and it's people like you care about, it's mentors, it's old bosses, things like that, like people that you trust to lead you in the right direction and people that you trust to discuss life about. And not everybody, you know, I have some friends that I love them to death, but I would not trust their opinion on my career path, you know? And so it's just figuring out who those people are that are going to give you the support you need. And so I feel like throughout my life, I've always had kind of that idea of like certain people that I go to walk me through or talk me through these different life choices, because to be honest, especially when you're in your 20s, every single life choice seems like a crisis. you know, I've always had people to go to and talk to, but I think my biggest thing was when I was transitioning between the corporate world. So post-college, I was in the corporate world. I was transitioning, trying to figure out what I wanted to do next. And in this corporate job that I had, I was miserable. Like, I was just so unhappy. I really, really wasn't like alive. It felt terrible. And so when I was transitioning and trying to figure out the next step, you know, I kind of spitballed the idea of like, maybe I work for myself, maybe I freelance, maybe I just see like what other options are out there. And everyone in my board of directors was so supportive. Like, my boyfriend is my closest supporter always. And he was like, yeah, honestly, that makes the most sense. Like, I think you should do that. And my dad was an entrepreneur in his life for a while. And he was like, yes, absolutely. You need to do this. And I remember my mom is very opinionated, to put it nicely. And I remember I was talking to her about this, and she was like, yeah, that like makes the most sense for you. Like, I absolutely think you should do it. And so again, it was kind of just like, not necessarily external verification, but it was more like, oh, these people that love me, that like I trust, are saying that, yes, this is a good idea. They know me so well that they know that this is going to work out, and they know that this is going to be something that's going to make me happy. And so, yeah, my friends and family were really supportive, but then also I just had, business mentors, I would say, like some old bosses or some old coworkers that I really looked up to, that kind of helped me see that there's always an alternative path in your career. Like, it's not like you pick one job and you're set forever. You know, there's always going to be changes. There's always going to be different ways to like look at how you work, how you live. And so I've picked up pieces of advice from all of them along the way. So yeah, there's like, I know it was like a personal decision, but it was also like a joint effort of just like feeling so supported by the people around me.
Yeah, I love that. And it makes a lot of sense. I think my follow-up question to that would be, for someone out there who, you put it so well, you know, like the board of directors, how would you, or what would your suggestion be for someone to create their own board of directors who they could reach out to kind of get multiple perspectives on a decision you're about to take?
Yeah, I would say, you know, think about the people in your life that share the same values. I think that that's a really important decision when you're thinking about who to really like have on your board of directors, because not like I am friends with people that have totally different values than me. I'm not saying you can't be friends with them, like always keep different personalities in your life. But when people have the same values, they're going to help you navigate life in the same way that you would. And so like, you wouldn't want someone to have completely different work ethics than you on your board of directors, because they're going to look at your life differently. So it's like people that you've come in contact with, you know, your old bosses, your family, certain friends that kind of have similar mindsets as you. And so one of my best friends from high school, he's kind of always been the same. Like, we've always had similar internships, we've always had similar work paths. And so he's not necessarily like a mentor of me, like he's never been a boss. figure to me, but he's someone who has the same drive as me. And so like, I'll often talk to him about work and careers and things like that. Like I would consider him on my board of directors. I don't know if I would ever say that to his face because I don't think he would ever let me live it down. but it's true. It's just like people, you have to surround yourself and like talk through those things with people who have similar mindsets about work and life and things like that. So yeah, I'd say that's my best advice for that.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think my next question to you, Izzy, would be this then. What were some of the limiting beliefs or what were some of the obstacles that you faced in your journey as an entrepreneur that made you go, you know, like, kind of thing, basically. Yeah, I think that's the best way to describe obstacles. Yeah. Like, they just go like screeching halt. Like, you know, you're going full speed and then screeching or like, but yeah.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. I feel like anyone who's in this position instantly knows what you mean because there's a lot of them. There's no way to like get around that. I think for me, since I'm in the design world, I always thought that I was going to have to work for someone as a designer for years and years and years before I had like the experience. But you know, there's more to that. There's also a fact of like just being able to trust yourself and, you know, I'm very picky with my design work. Like I want everything I do to be like the best possible. And same with like pretty much anything, you know, when you show up on stories, when you show up on podcasts, when you do things like that, like you always want it to be the best possible. But when you do that, sometimes you don't allow yourself room for growth too, because I think that growth happens in error. And so it's like, no matter what you're doing, in 5 years, you're always going to look back and be like, that was cringy, or that could have been better, or that, you know, what was I thinking? But that's because you've grown. And so if you're not looking back at your old stuff and being like, oh, that wasn't very good, then I don't think you've grown very much. You know, you kind of want to look back. And so I would say like my biggest like limiting belief was just thinking that everything had to be the best and perfect and like where I wanted it to be, because you often like compare yourself to all those other entrepreneurs around you, and some of them have been in business for like 5-7 years longer than you, and so you can't really compare yourself to where they are. You need to compare yourself with like where you are right now. And so yeah, that was a really big one for me, is just understanding that I had to be okay with making mistakes and growing and not always being perfect, I guess.
Yeah, you know what, that honestly makes so much sense, because I completely agree. I have this thought process that there is no such thing as perfectionism, solely because what was perfect literally a minute ago can change after a minute, right? Like,
yeah,
we are evolving so quickly in today's day and age that it's impossible for something to remain perfect for a really long time. Like, there are going to be times when you frantically change and you change. Frantically might not be the right word, but you're changing like constantly, right? And it's crazy and chaotic. And I feel like in moments like that, it's best to kind of rely on progress as opposed to perfectionism. Like, how are you progressing? Mm-hmm. So I love what you said, because that is a suggestion that I give to people all the time, that are you looking back at your work from the past and cringing at yourself? Because if you're not, you probably have not grown as much as you possibly could have, right? Like, if I look back at the fan fiction that I wrote when I was in like 11th grade, I cringe like 90% of the time. But I'm also grateful that I started, right? Otherwise, I would be sitting here right now writing the same way I was writing when I was in 11th grade. Like, right? Like, it would have taken me 10 years to get to where I am as a writer right now. So I feel like it's important to just start, and then you'll make mistakes, obviously, but at least you can look back at it and cringe at it and make, you know, a day out of it. Like, get popcorn and be like, hey, that was shitty answer. But yeah.
And I think people are sometimes worried about being cringy, which I get. I totally get that. But I think also, like, you have to, like, everyone's cringy at something when they start. You know, when I first started like talking on my stories, I was cringy. And like, same with anybody else. Like, when you look at people who have like millions and thousands of followers, they were probably pretty cringy when they only had like 10 followers. You know, think about them showing up and talking on their Instagram stories to 10 followers. No matter what, that kind of seems cringy. And so it's like, it's just like being okay with it and understanding that you're growing and that it's about where you want to be, but you kind of have to like get through the trenches for a while first.
No, I love that. I think I have a few follow-up questions from a different perspective now. You mentioned comparison as one of the things within the obstacles and the limiting beliefs that we spoke about. Was there ever a time that you kind of compared yourself to people who have been in business for a really long time?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's almost impossible not to, I think, sometimes. Especially being a website and branding designer, there's always going to be people that have been designing longer than me, you know? And so there's always going to be other designers or even designers with different styles that I'm constantly going to look at and be like, wow, they're so good. Like, I need to be better too. And so, yeah, I think that that's kind of just part of the job. Mm-hmm. But it's more, I think what I've realized is it's more about like how you handle that. Like, do you handle it and like crumble and be like, oh, I can't do this? I knew a guy one time who was a graphic designer and he stopped being a graphic designer because he said, he looked at other people and he said, I'm never going to be as good as those other people. So he just stopped and got a totally new career. While that's fine, that's not for me. I feel like when I look at people who are better than me, it's almost like, wow, what can I do to myself to like make sure I get to that point at some time? Like, how can I educate myself? How can I practice? What can I try doing now to continue to advance my skills? So that way in the future, I am someone that someone else looks at as like, holy cow, she's amazing. You know, it's like, I think that I look at comparison. I tried to look at it that way. Like, wow, they're really good. How can I make myself better too? So, but I wasn't always perfect. Like, I've definitely blocked people on Instagram because I don't want to compare myself to them anymore. So I don't want to see their stuff showing up. And that's fine too. You know, you got to do what you got to do to make sure like you're in a good head state and you're mm-hmm. in a place where you can grow. So I'm not perfect, yeah. But I try and look at comparison as a growing opportunity, but nobody's perfect with it, I think.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So I feel like my question would be, how can people adopt the mindset that you have adopted around comparison? Like, what would your tip be for someone who is finding themselves logged into that comparison mode with no mm-hmm. exit? What would be some of your tips for them to kind of get out, like find a break, get out and start doing what they are doing?
Yeah. I think the biggest tip to get through comparison syndrome, is that a thing? I feel like it just combined imposter syndrome with comparison. But either way, it's probably the same thing. Comparison syndrome is a new term that I'm going to coin right now. But I think
that you can do that. We'll keep it. We'll promote it like that. Like, here is the talk about comparison syndrome. Like, what?
Yeah, but it's such a real thing. And so I think that what it comes down to is you need to learn to trust yourself and you need to learn to not doubt yourself. And that's really the key point. And so I sometimes like to develop evidence, which kind of sounds funny, but when I have like thoughts of doubt or like thoughts of like, oh, this person's so much better than me, I like to like think of evidence. And so like I think about things that I've done in the past that I'm really proud of, things that help me know that I can trust myself, things that help me show myself that I am good enough. And I like almost go through like a mental list sometimes, and then at the end of it I'm like, no, I am super cool. Like, I am good. I'm qualified. I can do this. And so I think like in order to get out of comparison syndrome, it's really just about like trusting yourself and building that trust in yourself to know that like, sure, someone's good, but like that doesn't mean you're not good. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I love that. I love that. Awesome. So I feel like my next question would be, how can people adopt the perfectionism, like getting out of the perfectionism mindset, according to you? Because I feel like a lot of artists kind of fall track to that, right? Like, and I feel like I'm saying that from my own personal perspective. Like, as a writer, I was like, I have to perfect this. So like, what would your advice be for someone who's stuck in that perfectionism mode?
Great question. I'm hesitating because I don't know if I've truly figured it out. I'm working on it. But like, yeah. Even I, like a couple weeks ago, so I have this offer that's called Branding a Website in a Week. And it's in 1 week, I develop the brand, I develop the website and like launch it all from Monday to Friday. And I was doing it recently. And I've done it like quite a few times, but this recent one, I was up until like 2 a.m. one night, two nights, I think, like really, really trying to get it finished. And then at the end of the week, I was like, why did that take me so much longer than I feel like it normally does? And then I was like, because this is the best one I've ever done, because I spent so much time like trying to make it amazing. And so I don't know if there's a key to overcoming perfectionism. I think it's really just managing it is what you need to do. And at some point, you know, you have to be like, okay, done is better than perfect. And not burn yourself out about it. I think why it was okay that I was a real perfectionist about this last website is because I knew it was going to be over in a week. So it's not like I was going to be like killing myself for like a month trying to get this thing done. It was like a week, I could do it. I don't know. So maybe that's it. Maybe think about perfectionism as a sprint instead of a marathon. It's okay. Yeah. I don't know if that's great advice though, but no, that's kind of how I've been managing it.
Makes sense. You know what? We are here to kind of hear different perspectives of how people around the world manage some of the obstacles that a lot of people faced in life generally. So it's all cool. I'm here to hear your thought processes and perspectives and opinions. And I feel like our listeners are as well. So yay. Awesome. Yeah. I feel like I want to do something like I forget the word for it, but basically I'll ask you a question and I would like to invite you to kind of give a response in a sentence if possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Let's go. Right, there's a word for it, like fast drive, heat. I don't know, my brain is not working, but in what would be one tip for someone who is interested to get into branding? What would be one tip for them according to you?
Okay. My tip is to find an educational course or content that you enjoy. You're going to have to learn the basics. You're going to have to learn the design side of it, and the tools. So first tip, educate yourself.
Love that. Awesome.
That was a sentence, right?
Yeah. It was. No worries about it. Yeah.
Good.
One tip for anyone who is intrigued about entrepreneurship and wants to get into it.
Do it. If you're interested in it, I feel like you just gotta do it. You just gotta trust yourself and do it and don't hesitate.
Love that. One tip for someone who is worried about the starving artist mentality that exists.
Ooh. Let me think a really good one on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I heard someone else say this. So I don't, it's totally not my tip exactly, but someone once said to me, like, money exists, just does. It's a thing. It's part of our economy. Like, there's always going to be a flow of money. It's more about how you position yourself to get it, you know? So like, if you're creative and that's what you want to do and you're passionate about it, that's amazing. Find a way to turn that into a revenue stream. And that's really going to be the key, is figuring out how you can use your creativity in a way that aligns with this like flow of cash.
I love that. Yeah, I love that. Yo, let's go. All right. What would be your number one advice for someone who has transitioned into entrepreneurship and are kind of worried about what would be the next best step for them to do? Like, they're like, yes, I'm an entrepreneur. What next? Like, you know, you get so confused with all of the options around you that it can be freaky. So what would your tip be for someone like that?
My tip is to not get overwhelmed. Take it piece by piece, because if you start out by trying to do 100 things, you're going to get burnt out. So slowly take on what you can handle, and also just have conversations, find other entrepreneurs that are similar to you and just have coffee dates with them and talk to them about, you know, what they've done, what they've struggled with, how they got out of it. So that way you can kind of learn from your community and network as well. So yeah.
I love that. Awesome. So I feel like, any last tips you would like to give before we move into the next part of this podcast?
I guess the biggest tip that I, the best tip that I like to always share with people is that don't get too wrapped up in the shoulds. I think that if we let shoulds control our life, and this is a big thing that I had to work through too, is if you let shoulds control your life, you're never really doing what you want to do. And so something that I like to say is like, go write a list of all the things you feel like you should do in your life and cross out all the ones that like you don't really care about, but you just like feel like you should do because like society says it or like someone else says it, and really go through and circle the ones that you feel like you really want, and then change the word. Instead of I should do this, change it to I want to do this, or I'm choosing to do this, because erasing shoulds from like your mindset makes it so much easier to move forward.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love that. Also, moving on to the next phase of the podcast, I would like to ask you this question that I often ask the guests of the Soul Squad Quest. This podcast originally started out as a spirituality podcast, and as an ode to that, I often like to ask people what are some of their spiritual and or self-care practices that they do on a daily basis or on a routine basis to kind of have fun in their lives, have like a balanced life, and do what they love to do.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I would say I am on a spiritual discovery still.
Nice.
I was raised very Catholic Christian, and so I've kind of been branching out of that and trying to find my own understanding of the universe and spirituality. And so I don't have any set things right now because I'm kind of exploring what it means to me. I will say that I love crystals and I have them everywhere. And so that is a big thing. I often like fidget with a crystal because I just like holding it. I feel like it calms me. So that's a big thing. But honestly, for me, the biggest thing for me that's like a spiritual thing is just nature. I love nature. I love walking around barefoot. Like I just love being connected and feeling at one with like the earth and my surroundings. And so while I'm still trying to figure out a lot of the sense of spirituality, nature and just understanding that like the universe gave us this earth is a very spiritual thing for me. And so I just spend time outside.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I love that. I remember from the days when I was just a soul coach, I remember telling people that spirituality means something unique to every individual. Like at least the very base of foundational level of spirituality is something that's very unique to every individual. So I love that being out in nature and playing around with crystals is something that helps you feel like yourself. So love that for you. Kudos.
Yeah.
Any self-care routines that you have that you do on the daily basis?
Any what?
Self-care routines.
Oh, I am a raging extrovert, but I work from home. And so honestly, self-care for me is like finding ways to interact with people. I play volleyball on a team like 2 to 3 times a week. And that is like my self-care, just like getting to be around people, getting to do something active. I also do like coffee dates with people because I need to recharge by being around people. And so that's a huge thing for me, is just making sure that I don't forget to schedule activities and like things to do with people. Because if I go through like a week without seeing people, without like going into like society, basically, I like shut down and I don't act like myself. And so that's like something that people don't talk about a lot, but like self-care for extroverts can often just be being around people. So that's a huge thing. I'm also a huge plant person. And so I feel like watering my plants once a week and like just being around them is like huge self-care for me. And so those are two things that really help me like be an Izzy and stay normal, whatever normal is for me. But that's how I like maintain myself.
Yeah. No, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. I had no idea what is a self-care tip for extroverts. I feel like this is this is very informative, because as an introvert, I'm like, if I stay outside for a minute, okay, that's too over exaggerated, but at least like an hour, I have to like
be inside and away from people for like 3 days, and I'm like, I don't even want to talk. So I feel like it's very contrasting, yeah, and I'm all here for hearing your thoughts on it. So thank you so much for sharing that. I love that. So my next question for you, Izzy, would be this: what was one of your soul's conquest in the past, and what is your current soul's conquest?
Okay, wait, one more time.
Mm-hmm. What was one of your soul's conquests from the past, and what is your current soul's conquest? So I define soul's conquest as, like, you know, you play video games and you kind of go on these side quests to kind of get armory, friends, potions, and all of these things that at the end of the day somehow work into the main quest that you are working on at any given point of time. So I feel like the soul's conquest is basically different side quests that you go on to help you on the main quest called life.
I like that. Okay. My biggest conquest from my past was learning how to be content, which sounds very not like a conquest. But I was always the type of person that, like, I was in every club. I was constantly had something on the schedule from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. I was going, trying to fit everything in. And then also at the same time, planning every minute of the future. So trying to think about where I was going to be in 5 years, trying to think about what I was going to be doing in a week, where I was going to be living, and like just planning out this like exotic life that I felt like I needed to live to feel happy. But I think a big thing that I've been working through, and I feel like I finally reached it, is just understanding that, like, what it truly means to make my soul happy and my soul content with where I am in my life. And so that was a big thing, and a lot of pieces came together to figure that out. And I never, ever, ever thought in my life that I was going to be like content and happy living in a house in Minnesota where I live right now. Like, if you would have told me that 5 years ago, I would have thought you were absolutely crazy. But there's just been a lot of things in my life that led to being here. And now, like, I constantly just like look at Tyler and I'm like, Tyler's my boyfriend. And I'm constantly just like, I love our life. Like, I love being here. I love the way we set up our life. And it's a real huge step for me. So that was a huge thing. For the future, that's a good question too. I guess, I think for the future, my biggest conquest is just figuring out what I want. Figuring out my limit, maybe, for being an entrepreneur and what that means and what it's going to lead to and what it's going to look like. I think that's kind of a big thing for me, is knowing that I'm at the place to like level up and branch out and expand. But what does that mean, and how does that fit into my life? So that's kind of my next conquest, maybe.
I love that. Oh my gosh, I love that one. I think my question after this would be, what is something that has recently created a lot of impact in your life?
Ooh, how deep do you want to get?
As deep as you want to go.
The most impactful thing for me recently, during the pandemic, I was still working that corporate job and I was miserable and just thought that's what everyone else was doing, was being miserable in their corporate life and this job that I had. I had an uncle commit suicide during that time period. And a big factor that led to his depression, I think, was just the corporate life that he was in and surrounded himself with, and the demand that that took on him. And I think seeing that happen really, really, really shifted what I thought was important in life. And so that's something that I think about constantly and think about, like, am I living a life that's going to make me happy?
Thank you so much for sharing that. It means a lot to me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think it's important to talk about it. And I definitely always want to be one of those people that's able to talk about it and normalize it and shed light to it, because unfortunately it's reality that a lot of people suffer with and deal with. So
Well, thank you so much for normalizing it and talking about it. I appreciate it a lot, and I'm sorry for your loss. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, for sure. I think my next question would be, what is something of yours that the viewers or the watchers or the listeners of this podcast should check out after this podcast ends?
I think that they should take away that no matter what, at the end of the day, you have to build a life for yourself that you're happy living every day. Mm-hmm. And that can look like a lot of things. And I think that, you know, if opening your own business is what's going to make you happy, do it. If that's not what's going to make you happy and you love your corporate life, do it. My boyfriend, he loves that he has like a 9-to-5 and it's just something that fulfills him. And so if that's what it is, do it. Like whatever it is, do something and build your life in a way that you're going to love living every single day and it's going to make you happy every day.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. I did want to ask you this, the initial question. I feel like this was the final question, but the next question that I have for you, or the initial question that I had for you, was what is something of yours people should check out? Like any, you can promote yourself here, basically. This is where you can tell people what they should look into after they listen to this podcast episode.
Yeah. Come follow me on Instagram. It's at IzzyWaitDesign. I am actually pretty social over there. I know, go figure, social media app. But I actually chat with people in the DMs and stories and stuff. So don't hesitate to come over and just say hi. I also have a free branding starter guide, and it's linked in my Instagram bio as well. So it's just a guide that will help you walk through building a branding strategy and figuring out where that, how you can do that, how you can pick out colors, fonts, things like that. And so it's just a free guide, and then it has a free Canva template as well to help you build your brand guide. So yeah, that's your takeaway. Me,
amazing.
You can come chat with me, or you can come get my free branding starter guide.
Yeah. No, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. One last thing you'd like to say before we switch off this call.
Just thank you. Thank you for having me. This is really fun. I love that we got to dive into the work side of things, but also the personal side of things. It was a lot of fun chatting. So thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. I am extremely grateful for all that you shared here, for helping us kind of move away from the mentality of, you know, should, and get into the mentality of I choose or I want this for myself. So thank you so much for doing that. I'm deeply appreciative of all that you shared here with me today and with the audience today. Thank you so much. I hope you had fun.
Yeah, I did. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Let's go. Made it. Let's go. Thank you so much, you guys, for listening to the end of this podcast. I hope that today's guest inspired you and gave you a lot of amazing tips that you can try out in your day-to-day life. Let's go. All right. With that, I hope that if you enjoyed this episode, you leave a review on Apple. You can share this podcast with anyone else who is on the same boat as you are. We succeed when we grow together, and that is the vibe of this podcast. We are here to inspire people. We are here to grow together. You are not alone in this journey. So if you feel that someone is stuck and is in the same position as you are, please feel free to share this podcast episode with them. And if you feel like there is a guest who has inspired you in the past and who could potentially inspire people who were in the same place that you were in, reach out to me on Instagram at @thesoulsconquest with an underscore after every word. So @the_souls_conquest, and reach out to me there. Follow me, subscribe me. If you love this podcast episode and if you had a major takeaway from it, take a screenshot of this episode, add a link, share your takeaway, and tag me on Instagram @thesoulsconquest. I'm super excited to see you there. Thank you so much for being here. Let's get going. We have an amazing, amazing album guest lined up. So I hope you're ready to get inspired. I hope you're ready to follow your dreams just as these people did.
and to potentially be on this podcast somewhere down in the future. Maybe. You know what? Let's do this. Let's make it happen. Are you ready? If you are, let's go. Let's do this. Peace out.